Well, hello everybody and welcome to a brand new week at Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's the top of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, well, you're hearing the live broadcast at Basic Gospel, and we want you to be a part of it. If you have a question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, give us a call right now. The lines are wide open at 844-322-2742 in Canada and the U.S. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, guys, knowing where you stand is important in life.
Yeah.
And certainly the Bible understands that and gives us a lot of good information on where we stand as believers in Christ Jesus. For example, in Romans chapter 5, we read these words, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that's a powerful statement and of itself. We all are looking for peace, peace with God, and there's only one way to have that, to experience that, to live in that, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that we have been justified through his shed blood on the cross. So if you're a believer, you're at peace with God. You're no longer at war with him. You're no longer at enmity with him. You're no longer estranged from him. You're on the same page. You're in harmony with him. You're friends with God. Now, that's great news. I just wish more believers lived like that, lived as if they were at peace with God. But because we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God. And Paul goes on to say this, "Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God." So when we come to Christ, that estrangement, that alienation that we experience from God is erased. We are justified, we're declared righteous, we're reconciled, and now we're at peace with God. And being at peace with God, being children of God, we have a new realm of existence. Our feet, our whole lives are lived in the grace of God. So we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So if you're going through a particular circumstance in life, and when most of us do, we're always raising the question, God, I thought you loved me. God, I thought that I was in your favor. God, I thought that you really were interested in me and cared for me. We judge God's love based on the circumstances mm-hmm. that we experience in life. Well, according to this passage, that's a wrong judgment. Whether it doesn't matter what circumstances I'm going through, if it's a bad circumstance, I'm still standing in the grace of God. And if I know that that's where I'm standing, then I can lean on him and turn to him to help me get through this. That it's just life throwing bad stuff at me. It's not God trying to teach me a lesson or trying to break me or do any of that. It's just life. And so in this life that throws stuff at us, I'm shielded because I'm standing in the grace of God. It doesn't mean those things aren't going to come my way. It simply means that I have somebody greater that I can turn to that can help me through those situations. So we have to realize that once we're in Christ, we're always in God's favor. We are always surrounded by the grace of God. We're always infused by the grace of God. So we have God's grace in, God's grace out, God's grace all around. That's where we stand. That's where the realm of our life is now lived and experienced within the framework of the grace of God. And boy, that changes everything, doesn't it, Richard?
Well, what else is it going to do but change everything? Because it's completely different way of thinking and behaving and believing than anything we ever did prior to that. Before that, we were on our own. Anything good that happened in my life before I met Jesus was up to me. Anything bad that happened in my life was probably up to me, although there are some people who could have done bad things to me. But I was on my own, and I hated that. Now, when I finally began to understand who Jesus is and what he has accomplished and the fact that this grace is not a thing but Jesus himself And that's what that's how I stand. That's in whom I stand and who stands in me. Then you have to change your thinking, because the old thinking makes no sense at all anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain this. I just found myself starting to say thank you once in a while instead of never. Because look what he had done. Look what he was continuing to do, regardless of circumstance, good or bad, rain or shine, Jesus was there.
Yes, indeed. So where do you stand? Well, last week we talked about the gospel. We talked about 1 Corinthians 15. When you hear that gospel, when you receive it, you're saying, I'm taking my stand on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what does that mean? That you are now standing in the grace of God. Why? Because we're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's where all of life is to be lived out, from that lofty perch on which we stand today.
Absolutely. Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, call now, 844-322-2742. If it is approximately 6 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, well, you're hearing the live broadcast, and we want to hear from you. Again, 844-322-2742. Well, guys, in line with what we're talking about this month, we have yet another excellent resource for you. It's called Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. You'll find solid footing for your faith as you let your roots grow deep and stand on the promises and power of our God. Request your copy today when you send your gift to support Basic Gospel. You can donate online at basicgospel.net, by phone at 844-322-2742, and in Canada, of course, you can give directly at basicgospel.net/Canada. And because many of you faithfully support this ministry, the gospel is taking root in the lives of people all over the world. So we thank you for standing with us.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Taylor, Michigan, and talk with Tony, listening to us on WMUZ. Hi, Tony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Fine. We're doing great. How are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you. Let me give you a little background. I was raised Catholic until I got married, and about a year after I got married, I transferred or converted to the Lutheran faith because I began to realize the solo fide, solo Christus, solo gratia, that I am saved by faith through God's grace. And in my studies as a Lutheran, I've come across what they term decision theology. Are you gentlemen familiar with that term?
Just briefly, just a small understanding of it, yes.
Well, I'd like to get your viewpoint or a little clarification. I believe that I am given free will. I also believe that I have a free will to reject the word and redemption of Jesus Christ. But I do not have the free will to choose him. This is the difficulty that I'm facing. I'm trying to rationalize that, and I've discussed it with my pastor on occasion, and he says, yes, indeed, that's it in the nutshell. You do not come to faith on your own. That's not your decision to make. What do you guys say?
Well, Tony, that, you know, that's exactly right. We're not going to come to that decision on our own. That's why it's by grace through faith. So there's God initiating, God sending a spirit, God's spirit doing its work on us to convict us wrong about sin, to convict us wrong about righteousness, to convict us wrong about judgment, and to really connect our hearts to Jesus Christ. And so that's the through faith aspect of that verse in Ephesians. So it's by grace through faith. It's God initiating through the power of the Holy Spirit and attaching us, connecting us to the person of Christ. And as that happens, regeneration occurs. We go from death to life in Jesus Christ. So we can't say that You know, like in a real estate transaction, we look at five or six different homes. We get all the facts. We write down a list of pros and cons for each one. Then we examine all of that, and then we make our decision. Well, that's not how this faith is really comes to be inside of us. Why? Because someone outside of this world has entered into our lives. His name is Jesus.
Exactly.
And we encounter him in such a way that our hearts just respond to him. Now we describe that as receiving. Tony, the Word of God describes that as receiving Christ. The Word of God describes that as calling upon the name of the Lord. The Word of God describes that in numerous ways that make it sound like human choice, but it really is just something that our hearts just leap to in response to the grace of God.
Well, Bob, you started your discussion with three words that made me feel a heck of a lot better. That's exactly right, I think, is what you said. And perhaps I have it correctly in my mind. It's just decision theology, in my thinking, rebuffs free will. It stipulates that, no, we really don't have a free will to accept, because in our accepting God's word, we don't make that decision. That's not our free will in action. That's God's grace. That's our faith through God's grace.
Yes, that's what the Bible clearly
got it right now.
clearly spells out. And let's realize that Jesus has something. To do with this salvation that we have. As a matter of fact, he doesn't have just something to do. It's everything, as you say.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
You know, listen, I'm taking too much of your time. God bless you for your program. I listen to it regularly, and I thought that you guys would, if nothing else, give me a clarification on the term decision theology. You guys keep on doing a wonderful job. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Tony. Thanks for calling today. Yeah. We certainly appreciate that.
We do indeed. This
is the kind of issue, and we come up against this in different contexts all the time. This is the result of human beings trying to codify what happens so that we can put it down on a list of three things or five things or 10 things. That means here I wasn't a Christian and now I am, and if all these things have happened, and the lists vary from belief system to belief system. And I think focusing on the things that humans do to become saved is always a dangerous thing, because as soon as I have my list, then I can say I've done this and this and this and this, and now kind of God, don't you owe me? And you got to be really careful of that. He owes us nothing. He's given us everything.
Right. I know when I was at that church youth camp, and I'm seeing the portrayal of the crucifixion of Christ in such a vivid way, and I could feel the agony to just a little bit. I knew at that moment that I needed Jesus. Now, did I make a conscious decision about that? Absolutely not. I went in there not expecting anything to happen. I wasn't asking those questions. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? None of that was on my mind. But God loved me enough to show me my need for Christ in such a powerful way that I was just saying, you know, 45 minutes after I walked into that room, I need Jesus. Now, why did I say that? Because I encountered Jesus, and his grace did a work in my heart, and that's all I could say.
Yeah.
And I think that's true for every single human being. And like you said, we can try to codify that and come up with a formula of how it worked. But all we can really come to is to say, I met Jesus.
Yeah.
And the day I met Jesus, everything changed.
That's good stuff, man.
Yes,
thank
it is.
Very much.
Tony, really appreciate your call. Well, if it's still the first half of the 3 o'clock p.m. Central Time hour, well, we're hearing you're hearing the live broadcast. We'd love to hear from you at 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper. My name is Bob Davis. We're glad you're with us. Several calls came in off hours. Let's listen to one of those right now.
I have a concern about our civility of our president and our congressmen, senators, voting along party lines, disrespecting people because of their nationality, color of their skin, and I pray that we can be more civil to each other and do everything for our nation, not for our party. I would like to think we're a better nation than that, and I pray to the Lord that they'll praise him and appreciate him for who he is, and that he makes us think about our deeds, our actions, our thoughts, and our words. Amen.
Well, nicely expressed there.
Yes.
I think everyone has a concern about civility in our country today. And it doesn't matter the subject, but we're just not civil with each other. We're not civil with each other when it comes to social media. It's just unbelievable to see how Christians attack one another over theological issues. I mean, you have somebody that believes you can lose your salvation, and somebody says you're once saved, always saved. I mean, they treat each other as if they're bitter enemies.
Yeah.
And normally at the end of those conversations, both are saying you're probably not even saved. And it's you just see this anger. And part of it is because we want to be right, and so we defend our position to the hilt, and you know, to some degree, defending that position is good, but it can break down relationships. It can break down the opportunity to actually persuade somebody to think about what you're saying. And so we do need civil discourse. And this isn't the first time in our history as a country where folks have been expressing their viewpoint, saying, hey, we need to have a more civil discourse. This has been part of our history, part of world history, since the very beginning, since sin entered into this world. So we as believers need to take the lead. We need to be able to model what real civility is, what real conversations are, to be listeners, first and foremost listeners, and then to be able to take what we've heard and apply things to the gospel and speak it back to somebody in such a way it makes them step back and say, huh, I've never thought of it that way. And then you can have conversations. So, yes, we need to be the lead in this. We need to model what it is to have genuine conversation with somebody. And as far as believers are concerned, I think it's important for us to understand something. And this is what we need to understand. Christianity is all about the souls of men. It's a battle for the souls of men. We have the world system. We have sin, we have our enemy, Satan himself, they're trying to steal, kill, and destroy. And then we have God who sent Jesus so that we might have life. So we have to recognize that. So Christianity is interested in the souls of men. Christianity is interested in offering new life to those dead in sin. But we need to take that down, we need to drill down a little bit and say, if that's the case, then we as Christians, let's find out what's really going on in the souls of men. Let's help somebody to express, bring to the surface what's really going on deep inside. And when we help people bring to the surface what's going on deep inside, then we have connection points as far as this gospel is concerned. If somebody is sensing an emptiness inside, we now have a connection point. If they surface that, then we have a connection point. What is that connection? Well, God has come to make you full, to complete you, to fill you to the full. And that's what he says in Colossians chapter 2, that we have been given completeness or fullness in Christ. So we want to help people bubble up to the surface what's really going on deep in their souls, so that we'll have connection points as far as this gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned. So if we'll take the lead in that, I think we can really model what civility is all about in conversation. Now, is that going to change it on a national front? I don't know, but at least somebody will get a look at something different. That's worth something, that's for sure.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Another call that came in off hours was this one.
Hello there, guys. I'm just listening to your show. I'm very frustrated with what I believe is a gap of your thinking. And in the big picture, God isn't political that way. But God is also a God of life, and you have to concede that God has more of a conservative world, preserving the family, conserving life, conserving purity and holiness, and that certainly isn't a liberal mandate. I believe the liberal mandate is satanic, it's evolutionary and humanistic, and generally, if you're a true conservative, you adhere to the gospel and the Bible. So I'm really frustrated with your compromised answer there, okay? Thanks.
Oh, my.
Yes, oh, my. Oh, my, indeed. It's kind of interesting. I think a gentleman like this gets it backwards. He said conservatives are going to be more biblical in their thinking. Well, I think that's wrong. I think a Christian who reads the Bible may go down a conservative path. So it's the Bible that's bringing about these political positions instead of political positions bringing about biblical worldview. Mm-hmm. So I think we need a biblical worldview first and foremost, and allow that biblical worldview to direct our thinking as far as the issues of the day. And yes, in most cases, you're going to be more conservative, I think. So I don't know what program he was listening to. We haven't said anything, that would necessarily negate what he is saying. But here's one thing that I think is so important for us to understand. And what you'll see in this political debate and this political climate today is a hope that is put on political solutions by Christians. And I even got an email today that said Trump is really the last great hope for Christianity in America. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah, we're dead meat if that's the case.
Oh, my gosh. Do we not have any faith in the power of God? Mm-hmm. Do we not have any belief that Jesus's church will nothing will come against it? He's going to build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Do we not have any confidence in the power of the resurrection? I mean, this country could completely reverse and all freedoms taken away, but that will not take the voice of the gospel away, ever, ever. And we need to live like that. We need to live as if Jesus is Lord. Why? Because Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
And our confidence needs to be in him and him alone. And we need to realize that his work is going to continue regardless of political climates, regardless of political systems. His work will never end.
Absolutely. Appreciate it, brother.
Take it away.
Well, gosh, friends, if you like what you hear on Basic Gospel, if it's having an impact in your life, then be ever mindful that Basic Gospel is listener-financed. We can't do what we do without your ongoing prayers and support. And as we close the broadcast today, we ask you to go online to basicgospel.net or to phone 844-322-2742 and make your most generous gift to help us continue to reach out with the love, grace, and life of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when you do, be sure to request your copy, your free copy of Stand, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. That's basicgospel.net or by phone at 844-322-2742. In Canada, it's basicgospel.net/Canada. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Pfeiffer, and all the ministry team, this is Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow for another lively edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.